Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. I'm Dr. Jody Mullen, and this podcast is about helping parents and other people who are connected to children help children be their best. I've been a child counselor and play therapist for almost 30 years and a mom for just over 20. Blending my knowledge and experience puts me in the ideal spot to share with you the lessons I have learned about children, parenting, and cultivating relationships with children. These lessons have informed my parenting, and I believe why, as one of my friends put it, I have freakishly well-behaved kids. P.S. I just wanted to let you all know that they are freakishly well-behaved, except when they are not. So sometimes I'll get an opportunity to talk about that as well. In this podcast, we're going to get at some of the basic and fundamental principles I learned from my child clients that promote their wellness and therefore how they behave. These principles make parenting and parenthood less stressful, more joyful. I've whittled down these basic principles and share them with you as well as other lessons I have learned or am in the process of learning here so you too can benefit and enhance the relationships you have with your children and enhance your parenting esteem as well. For more on parenting children, check out my book, Raising Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. It was inspired by the thousands of children that I've worked with and conversations and consultations with parents I've had. You can also find additional resources for parents and professionals on my clinical website, and that's www.integrativecounseling.us, and integrative counseling is just one word. Or you can hang out with me on social media. I'm on Facebook at Integrative Counseling and Instagram at Dr. Jody Mully, where I share stories related to my clinical work. In any of what we talk about today, I make every effort to disguise any identifying information, and any likenesses are mere coincidence. Today, I'm lucky enough to have Faye with me again, and we're going to cultivate a conversation using some of the questions and ideas that come from our engagement with you all about children making mistakes. And honestly, the best way we could think of putting it is like helping them lose. So I want to welcome my sidekick, Faye, who's a full-time marketing professional with more hustles than she can count, including her lifestyle and beauty blog. And you're going to want to check that out at Rip Current blog. So welcome, Faye. How are you today?
Thanks for having me again, Jody. I'm great. How about you?
I am doing good also. I'm so excited to talk about this because this is one of the parenting principles, one of the 20 that I talk about in Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids book and audio book, but it's so like important. And I think the way we're going to talk about it today talks about some of the nuances of it. So the benefits of being a loser and talking about failing, losing, and making mistakes is such an integral part to our parenting, but also to even our relationships with self. So we'll get to sort of like talk about it in a number of different ways today. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, what a cool topic. do you think we should start with maybe one side of it, which would be what you think is one of the biggest mistakes parents can make when it comes to their kids being upset about losing?
Yeah, I think that is really an important component to this. So first is your children are going to lose, and they are going to be disappointed, and they are going to be hurt, and they are going to be embarrassed, just like we are, right? And so I think that it's really important for us to just recognize that that is a part of living. And if we don't allow children to experience those aspects of their lives, is that cuts them off from being able to deal with it later on, and as they mature and as they're teenagers and adults. So the one of the best tips I can give here is that when your child is experiencing a loss, it is to acknowledge it, is to acknowledge how they feel and acknowledge the experience of losing. Let me give you an example. So Faye, that may sound something like you are super disappointed that your team lost the game. It stinks when you lose. Just something really simple that acknowledges it. You don't try to take it away and like sort of replace the loss with the reward, but just, you know, just acknowledge it, because these little losses really do add up. And they, if we don't acknowledge the little ones, when the big ones happen, like their first breakup or something like not making a team, something like that, the bigger ones, they won't be prepared for them. So what we're doing is laying a foundation.
Right. So one of the biggest mistakes you would say is kind of like not forcing them to postpone feeling the feelings of losing.
Oh, you more said or less. That so beautifully. Yes, you said that so beautifully. That's totally it, is that you, if you try to gloss over it or make it something that it's not, like, and say like everyone's a winner, that's just not true. But when you play a game, someone loses, right? And so to be able to be honest with them is so important, about their experience. And again, this is foundational in parenting and relationships with children, because if you don't do it now, they're not going to believe you later on when they become twins and teens. They're just not going to be able to believe you, because you lied to them. That's the way children will see it, and told them that it wasn't a deal, that everybody wins, that the, you know what I mean, those kinds of things.
Right. And kind of piggybacking on that, I know you kind of just touched on this a little bit, but in the same regard, how can you share with the child that losing is okay? So rather than postponing, how do you make them feel like losing is an okay thing to experience?
Okay. So first is model, right? So you have to model that you make mistakes. You have to model that you lose, that you didn't win. It's not always that you lost, right? But it's sometimes that you didn't win. And I'll share a personal story. So I'm a runner, and I did lots of races when my children were little. And one of the things that my kids would say to me when they were little would be like, did you win? And I would say, I finished, and I'm so proud of myself for finishing. I never won a race. I'm never going to win a race. I'm not that kind of runner. But to be able to say like what I took away from it. And then the other aspect of that is then you can employ that same skill with your children. It's like, what did you take away from that? So your team lost. What were your personal wins? What were some of the things you learned from that experience? And they may not be able to come up with those things, but you can give them examples. So one of the things might be like, I know that it's really hard when you lose. I'm thinking of a sporting event. I know it's really hard when you lose in the last few minutes of the game when you were winning the whole game. So I'm wondering if that changes the way that you play next time, you know, so you can kind of bait them and set it up. But if you're not doing that yourself, it's just not going to work at all.
Right. So the modeling aspect of it is important, you'd say.
Yeah, the modeling aspect of it. And then also sort of teasing out, well, what did you get out of this, right? If you didn't win, you still get things out of it. There are still things you learn. There's still things you experience. There are still highlights, right? Like you can let's say you get cut from the musical cast, right? You still can have that experience of the courage it took to try out, you know? And so it becomes, although like, I don't think that like happens very naturally for kids. So it's, how do we really cultivate that experience for them? How do we demonstrate for them that, and give them ideas about that. So we're demonstrating it through modeling, but then we're also giving them some ideas. And that requires us to think a little bit differently about that as well. It's not just children. We're really, the dominant United States culture is very much a sport culture that really looks through a lens of you're either a winner or a loser. Right. And so how do we add some nuance to that?
Right. And I know you just mentioned running, and I think competition is definitely a big part of, you know, the feeling of losing and the feeling of winning. So do you think there's a right age to let kids start playing competitive sports and being in an arena where they are going to feel wins and they are going to feel loss?
Right. So I'm not alone in this. American Academy of Pediatrics also has something to say about this. And organized sports, adults are getting in the way of children interacting with each other, right? So we're overseeing some of the social skills and negotiation skills and all of those things that they get to learn when it's just children playing with children and there's not an adult structure to it. And so I really don't see a reason, certainly under the age of five, that children should be enrolled in organized sports, unless it's like teaching a skill teaching kind of a thing where like they're learning how to ice skate, for example. That would be great. But having to participate in competition, no. Like, so whether it's in competition game or in competition like that are more traditional in things like figure skating and dance, I think that it's too much pressure on and stresses a child's system too much, and the benefits from it do not outweigh the ways that can become complicated and stressful to children. And I would say the other piece is that they become stressful to adults. Like when my daughter was a figure skater when she was younger, and the amount of stress I would experience and anxiety that I would experience, and I am not exaggerating when I tell you I would sit by myself in the stands and watch her during competition and cry, like literally just cry because of the level of stress I felt, because she never won. Like she literally never won. And she worked so hard at it. And that's heartbreaking. And so what does she take away from that? Well, now she's 22, what she takes away from that is I can deal with disappointment and rejection without feeling like a disappointment and rejected. So it becomes this like really important lesson. But I think organized sports certainly for children under five, they're just not necessary.
Right. I kind of have a little bit of a similar story. Like I know that you said that your daughter used to do figure skating and it was like hard to, you know, see her lose and that there's a lot of stress surrounding that. I kind of on the other side of that, I feel like when I was younger, I played a lot of sports, but I didn't really necessarily care about the winning aspect.
Yeah.
I just kind of was like having fun. I didn't necessarily consider myself to be very good at sports until I got into like a middle school, high school age range. But I would say that my biggest takeaway from doing something competitive was that I started to really love movement, and I've kind of carried that into my adult life. So just from the other side of things, like I think that's another thing that you can explain to kids maybe that's something you're getting out of it too, just the love of movement and being outside.
Oh, I think I love that because I think that is just it. And now I'm having flashbacks to I played soccer as a child. And I remember being, like, I think I was six when I started, but I got to play every position, right? So even trying out all of those things, I can't tell you like how good my team was when I was six, when I was seven, when I was eight. It's not until I got into middle school and stuff that I could tell you how well my team performed. But I can tell you that when I was really little, I got to try all of those different positions for size. And there was something about that, right? There's something about just being able to try new things that it are those life lessons that are actually about, like, winners do that, right? And successful people do that. They try out things and figure out what they're good at. So
definitely.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So I had another question for you, and it's kind of, I was wondering how parents can alleviate the pressure of trying to always win.
Okay.
So even if it's after a certain age that they're starting competition.
Right, right, right. Okay. So here, there's a couple of things that happen, and this is definitely something I learned personally and professionally from being a play therapist and playing with children all the time. And some children want to play games where there is a winner or a loser, like Uno or Jenga, or even set up, you know, sort of competitions. And so I think a there's nothing wrong with a competitive spirit, but there are going to be times where children children aren't going to win, and they can see it happening, so they cheat, right? And so,
right.
And I think when you see that, is you can either like reel that in and be like, you're cheating, and make it a power struggle, or my preference would be to just like honor it and say it's important to you to feel successful. There are a lot of children who are negotiating the world and navigating the world without opportunities for successes. So in some ways you want to create opportunities for successes, and then also recognize that when you're playing a game with a child and they cheat, or they, as I say, do some creative problem solving around that, is to honor that, is to just honor that they want to know what it's like to feel successful. And I will tell you, when I say that in play therapy sessions, when I say to a child who's clearly, you know, cheating at a game, is like, you are trying to figure out a way to win. You want to feel successful. Is children will say like, mm-hmm. They won't be like, no, I wasn't, you know, cheating, where if I said to them, like, you're cheating, that's not the way you play Uno, they would be, that would cut them off from communication and honesty. And so I think it's also a relating, is that we all want to feel successful, all of us do. And so being able to, like, lean into your own desires to feel successful and feel competent and all of those positive things, that's what children are trying to do too. And so if you can acknowledge that, that will make your relationship stronger with the child.
Awesome. I also was thinking about this from the perspective of, you know, teaching kids to be good losers is kind of really the point of this episode. And
yeah.
I know that kids aren't always being like taught this by their parents. I know that they spend a lot of time with coaches and with teachers at school. So what do you think that the importance of teaching kids to be good losers is in any setting?
Yeah. So I think being able to recognize the other person's competency is a way to do that. So I might say something like, And I'm going to give you an example with my daughter and tell you that it didn't work, but I'm still going to use it as an example. I would say, like, that competition that you just had, that, you know, that girl is going to speak, and just recognize that, like, I wonder how hard she had to work to do that, or how much time she's invested, or how old she was when she started, you know, figure skating. I think recognizing the competency in others while also recognizing their own competency, recognizing their own capability, recognizing their own potential. So it's like saying something like, it's really hard when you don't win, when you really want to win, and I wonder if you bring that spirit to the next game, how that will show up. Or the person that you played against, wow, they really wanted to win, they must practice a lot, you know, just sort of recognizing the value in others. I think it is important, and I think also another way to do that sort of without being participating is rooting for underdogs, right? Is to be able to do that. And you can do that through like books that you read to your, you know, with or to your child, books that they are interested in, is like, you know, is highlighting the underdog and the role of that related to being a good sport, being a good loser.
Right.
And I think going back to kind of where we started is recognizing that even like when you don't win, there are still takeaways. I think that in and of itself, you know, can make you a better loser, as well as somebody acknowledging, and I'm going to be just really clear with my language here, is it sucks, right? It sucks when you lose. And so being able to see that in an age-appropriate way to your child, I think is an important thing. Or if you are an educator, or if you are a child counselor, being able to say, like, that really felt bad. I also think, you know, another thing that comes up is, like, besides, like, winning or losing, what else did you get out of it, right? So, like, I'll go back again to my memories of soccer, was I loved playing soccer. I loved, like you were saying, I loved being outside. I think if I asked my daughter about all those figure skating competitions she was in, she loved the fanfare of it. She loved the costumes, and she loved the, honestly, like the makeup and the dramatics of it. That's what she loved about it. So it's
right.
Like teasing. What keeps you in the game? Why do you want to keep playing? I don't like why questions for kids, but so I would just change that. You really are still asked why, but to an extent, but you could say, like, what is it about playing soccer that you love? What is it about being on the swim team that's so exciting to you? Right. So if you ask a what is it kind of question, that will do that.
Right. I remember as a kid, my dad always used to ask me after every sporting event. I mean, I can remember this from even being like 4 or 5 playing like t-ball or, you know, like TV soccer, whatever it was. Like, it was always the first thing that he asked me was, did you have fun? And that was always just like, even if I felt really not great about losing, I specifically remember how good it felt. It was like an instant boost that he was asking me about the only thing that I wasn't thinking about when I was upset. So him just asking me, did you have fun? I would be like, actually, yeah, you're right. I had a great time.
Yeah, I'm so glad you share that example, because I think that is something that we forget about. Like, if it's not fun, why are you doing it? And I think that's a question we
have. Used to say that all the time too. Yep.
Yep, right. And I think even for ourselves, like I go to yoga regularly and I love it. And people sometimes, honestly, my partner has said to me something like, you know, that counts as a workout. And I said, not to me. It doesn't feel, it's not a workout because I enjoy it. Like, it brings me so much joy. And
I feel the same way about yoga too. It's definitely not a workout. It's like you're there for really just yourself, like not anybody else.
Really. And I think that children can have those experiences too, but we have to maybe tease it out in the questions we ask them. Did you have fun? What joy came from, you know, doing this, right? Like, and that can come from anything that's competitive. Like, my son is an artist, and so, you know, it is typical that his artwork gets put in competitions. And for, I think, you know, one of the takeaways is that he might not get an award for everything, and he doesn't. He submits. But the cool thing about it is people get to acknowledge and appreciate his artwork, and that brings him joy, is that somebody felt connected to it. So I think, like, those are the things that we can highlight, is that, yeah, it's things when you don't, like, get honored in a particular way that's related to winning, so to speak. Wow, look at, like, how many people just really appreciated what you created or how you played or, you know, any of those things. And I think I do think that it is so important for coaches to be able to look at the complexity of competition and what kids can take out of it, because if they're only looking at wins, they are missing so many other opportunities to create team spirit, to create compassion, to create the art of losing, the art of failing. They're literally
right.
getting in the middle of it.
Right. And I was just about to say that too. I feel like a lot of that is like a socialization aspect
mm-hmm.
and kind of like
yeah.
emphasizing to kids that it's not just comments, like the entire time, all of that socialization is really the important part at that age.
Yeah. Well, and I even think so, my son is just graduated high school, and I was thinking about like, well, who are even my friends? the other day we were doing something celebratory, and I was like, oh, it was the people that we became connected with because of our kids playing sports or our kids participating in, you know, in other kinds of things that were competitions. And so I think that like the modeling that happens there is like that we've been through a thing or two watching his team and teams over the past, you know, years of growing up, and that those have built relationships, and it's those relationships that we get to take away with us. He's done playing basketball for, you know, his school and now, but those relationships aren't done. Ours aren't done with the other parents that we connected to and became, you know, friends with, but neither are his. Like these are people he can be friends with, you know, forever. And it's that shared experience. So there's so much opportunity for socialization and modeling socialization at competitive events, including sports, but not only limited to sports.
Right. So those are really the only questions I had for you, but I did want to also mention, I know you said it before, but there was basically a making mistakes chapter in Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. So
yeah.
I did want to mention that too, in case anyone wanted a little bit more in depth.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And that one really does focus, the chapter on making mistakes really does focus on modeling mistake making. So modeling mistake making, modeling losing, like, but you can also model like, is creative problem solving around like, how do you become successful at something? So you can also model, you know, like what we were just talking about, for the love of yoga, for the love of running, for the love of, you know, just being able to play, you know, a game of cornhole with your friends. You might lose, but there are opportunities to connect, and you're modeling that all the time. It's, you know, obviously a theme we talk about here all the time on Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids is, you know, but you are. Together. So one of the things that my family did during the lockdown because of the COVID pandemic is we had cooking competitions, so our cooking competitions were not individual. We did it in pairs. And so, you know, just being able to, you know, to integrate collaborativeness.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we'll be back again talking about our next topic. Obviously, if you have questions or want to hear more about any of these, you know, any of the ideas that we're talking about, just reach out to us. This is how we decide what we're going to talk about. And keep an eye on our social media for some like after thoughts based on our conversation today. So thank you so much, Faye, once again for being part of this and help keeping me on task, because I always want to talk about so many things when I do this. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me again.
You're welcome. Okay, we'll see you soon. Please check us out again on social media. Take care.